Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. We are together again in the Cleveland studio. Good to see you, man. How you doing?
Good, good.
So,
I think we need to bring music back to the show. You know, we're not really doing the YouTube thing anymore. I feel like that is something we should do. Just a side note.
Okay.
Just a side note. I don't know.
I
know we have a musical intro. I forget about that. I mean, you know me.
Okay, yeah, I do.
Anyway.
Well, we can discuss this. Let's discuss it with just you and I. How's that for an idea? All right. So this week, a lot of news dominated by the grand jury findings in the Breonna Taylor killing. And do you want this first or you want me to take it?
I mean, yeah, I'll take it. And, you know, this worked out about how I thought it would. And, you know, I've already taken a fair amount of heat from some of our more left-leaning progressive friends, acquaintances, or what have you. But the reality is, again, you have to look at what got us here. What got us here were the laws and the procedures that were in place. And so based off of that, then you really weren't going to be able to charge these officers, right? And people are upset about the bullets, about the reckless endangerment, or what they say, wanton endangerment.
Yep,
or
disregard it.
Yeah. And that's also the right charge. And it's just like, well, what about the bullets that went into her? And again, a big part of this is you got 12 witnesses that say these guys didn't announce themselves. You know, there was loud knocking and banging, and you got 12 witnesses that say, didn't hear them say they were the police. You got one that does, and that's the one that they use in the grand jury, you know, in the grand jury process. Now, listen, a grand jury process is just a very surface level look into a case, right? And so, you know, there are a lot of people going to the, well, they announced themselves, and it was proven by the one witness in the grand jury test. Okay, all right, look. I mean, the police have a lot of control over this situation. The prosecutors have a lot of control. I mean, who knows who this witness is and what their testimony was to what they heard. And the reality is that even if this were to go to trial, you're going to trial on the wanton endangerment, right? You're not going to trial for what happened to Breonna Taylor. You're going to trial. He's not going to go to trial for that, right? Like, he's going to plead that out and get a slap on the wrist, and then that'll be that.
They were shot at. I mean, now I'll defend the guy who shot at them. It was her boyfriend.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting there, but like, those are some of the kind of things that stand out, right? Like, so the people who are really supportive of the police are going to go, there was a witness that said that they announced themselves, so they announced themselves, and so the boyfriend was wrong for shooting. Like, look, you can throw that out there, and that's fine, right? And we live in a time where no one wants to embrace facts, right? Like, you can give people facts, and people
emotions
are like,
way more important.
Right, emotions are very way more important than anything right now. But I also think that there's a real world application that we have to look at. Do you really believe that you got 12 witnesses that say there was no, you know, and then you got this one that remembers it clear as day and says, yeah, they absolutely announced themselves. Look, what we know for a fact is that witness recollection and their ability to recall exactly what happened is not reliable, right? And it goes both ways, right? Like, so I don't necessarily, like, we still don't have a good idea what happened when they kicked this door in at this apartment.
Right.
And if all I have is 1 versus 12, right, in terms of what happened there, in terms of the police announcing themselves, I'm not going to put a lot of weight into that, right?
Into that one.
I'm not going to put a lot of weight. I'm going to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it. But at the same time, I'm going to reserve a level of skepticism about the accuracy of what they're telling me for a number of reasons. And then you go into, yes, the boyfriend did shoot. And based off of what he said, based off of the fact that also he wasn't charged.
Well, he was, and it was very
but it was dropped.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But I think that says a lot, doesn't it? They quickly went...
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Let me finish. Stop cutting me off. You know, the boyfriend gets pulled in, and you know, for rightfully so, because police officer was shot. But then the charges get immediately dropped, right? And then, you know, Breonna Taylor's family, city decides to settle with them, right? Now, that's neither here nor there with the case, but those are telling me things, right? Like, those are telling me things. Like, so I have a hard time with... You know, the analysis of your conservative police supporting crew of, well, it's cut and dry that the police announced themselves, he shot at them, and so they had every right to return fire, and it just so happens that she got shot, and then they go to, you know, she shouldn't have been dating a drug dealer. Well, look, I mean, it was an ex-boyfriend who knows if he told her that he put her address on, you know, for his place of residence when he had to report and everything else. You know, they didn't find any drugs or money in her place. And frankly, making bad dating choices shouldn't cost you your life.
Did you hear what I said when I had the episode with Ben?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. But just, you know, I mean, to your point, it's just, look... Yes, she dated a guy who was a drug dealer or whatever, but she wasn't dating him then.
Right.
Right? And they were looking for this guy. He wasn't there. They found him, like, around the same time this went off. Like, they didn't have to go in with their guns drawn. They didn't have to go in right then. You know, I mean, it's just, like, if they really wanted to, they could have knocked on her door. They could have talked to her. There are multiple ways they could have handled it as opposed to going in with a no-knock warrant. Where, well, we had a no-knock warrant, but we did announce ourselves, you know, because we thought that would be the right thing to do, which that also seems insanely convenient, right? Like, oh, well, yeah, the warrant says no-knock, but we totally knocked and announced ourselves.
And we used a battering ram to knock the fucking door down.
Right. I mean, like...
You don't do that casually.
Right. I mean, it's just like, okay. So, I mean, like, there's some legitimate questions about what went on here, but the bottom line is based off of what we have...
Right.
Then we knew that this is how this was going to come down, right? A lot of people didn't want it to come down this way. And for me, it wasn't whether I wanted it to come down. You say, how is this going to work out legally? Legally, how it's going to work out is that these guys are going to walk, right? The worst case scenario was exactly what happened, is that they were going to be charged with, you know, the reckless endangerment for shooting in the other apartments. And that's exactly what happened. And that's not, again, that's not what I want, but based off of just the way the laws are set up, we knew that's how this was going to go. And so once that happens, we could be really upset about it, right? And Breonna Taylor's family, unfortunately, the most that they could do is sue the city, which that's already been resolved.
Right.
You know, Walker, the boyfriend, he is also suing the city because he wants to make sure his issue isn't about money. His issue is to make sure that they don't come back and try to arrest him again or bring charges again. Right, like, so he's trying to neutralize that whole aspect of this. You know, essentially, he's trying to prevent, you know, basically a retaliation, you know, from the city through all this. So it is an unfortunate situation, but the reality is, if you don't want it to happen again, it's not going to be punishing these cops as much as that pisses people off. That's not justice. That does Breonna Taylor or future Breonna Taylor's no good, right? Like, you can be as mad about that statement as you want. You can call me whatever you want. But the reality is, these cops being punished for this isn't going to fix it. What fixes it is eliminating no-knock warrants, which they've done.
Yes.
The other thing that fixes it is requiring these cameras to be on, period. No bullshit. No, oh, well, we turned them off because they had cameras on them. They can't tell me that they didn't have cameras on them. You know how I know? Because they leaked a video of what happened after.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The cop that was shot, there's a video of him after, and they're screaming, and they're MFing the guy that shot him, and there's this frantic video, and everyone's like, oh, my God, a police officer's been shot. That's so dramatic. Oh, my God, we have to support the police. Blue Lives Matter, of course. Like, oh, I agree with you, but... Why the fuck? Where's the rest of the footage? Where's the footage of him being shot?
After he got shot, he put a camera on.
Right. I mean, like, that. How does that make any sense? That he turns his camera on after the fact, like, he just happened to turn his camera. It's just like, oh, we're driving down the street. I'm getting medical attention. Let's flip the cameras on now.
Right.
Right? Like, so were the cameras off, or are they not releasing the footage of what happened when they kicked that door in? That's what I need to know.
Right.
Right. Because they that video leaked, and the question is, did it leak to garner support for the police? Like, here's a sympathetic video of him, you know, after he was shot. Like, you know, everybody relax. Or did someone leak it and say, look, if his camera's on now, the question is, was it on when he got shot? Was it on before that? And somebody might want to look into why we haven't seen this video.
So a couple things. I said this last week, but I think it's worth saying again. Of all the cases we've talked about, no one was done more wrong than Breonna Taylor. She was in her home. She had done nothing to warrant being, other than making a bad dating decision. And the line I used the other day was, if making bad dating decisions was a reason to get shot, I'd look like Sonny at the toll booth in The Godfather. And so
everybody's clapping again.
Thank you.
Because
thank
it was you. Just so funny the first time. They're so happy.
Okay. If you're going to be a dick, fine. But it is actually kind of funny. But to my point, for real, I've been in situations where I was dating girls who had jealous exes, and there's been a gun in my overnight bag.
Yeah.
I'm legally allowed to carry it. And every time I think, you're not going to need this. And I thought, how fucking stupid are you going to feel if it's sitting in your, you know, gun safe, right. And you're there going, oh, great, him and his three buddies are outside the door with baseball bats, and I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Now, has it ever come to that? No. But did I sleep better knowing that I had that protection? I absolutely fucking did. And if I was in Walker's shoes and a door gets kicked in, I'm going to assume
look, but the worst. But think about what you just said, right? Like, so you're saying I dated girls who had shady exes.
Yes.
Right? Breonna Taylor had a shady ex.
Yes.
Right? So shady that the Louisville PD kicked in her fucking door to find him.
Right.
Right? Like, so if that's the case, then it makes sense that this Walker guy is armed and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And if you knock, right? Like, if you knock on that door and you don't announce, then how does he know it's not this drug-dealing ex-boyfriend kicking in the door because he's mad at her or he hit something somewhere and whatever?
100% of those things. Like, if I didn't, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, like, so, I mean, the idea, and I think that that's the
where's the NRA on this case, by the way?
Oh, well, first of all, the NRA has their own issues that they're dealing with right now.
Fair enough.
But you're not, I mean, it's not a surprise that you're not going to see them really chime in. Because they can't, right? Like, I mean, they have put themselves morally in a box, right? Where they just, you know,
never stopped it before.
Well, I mean, now it's so bad for, like, Colin Noir is not there anymore. He's completely detached from the NRA. Like, he has nothing he's not affiliated with them in any way, shape, or form at this point. And they don't have the proper mouthpiece. Even Dana Loesch, and she's not even much. I mean, she's still a 2A advocate, but she's just turned into a Trump mouthpiece. So they don't have anyone to speak to. What is Wayne LaPierre going to come out and say something? Like, come on. So, no, the NRA is basically dead in the water on this. And even if they had those, they would probably try to push Colin Noir to say or do something. And he would do a pretty whitewashed down version of as close to the middle of the line as he could. To avoid rocking the white conservatives of the NRA group and, you know, trying to be as kind of honest as he could about it. But he's not there. And he hasn't even said anything on it independently on his own. He typically will wait till things die down. He'll put together a pretty decent kind of breakdown of the legal aspects of it. And then he'll put the video together and he'll put it out there. And I anticipate that'll come in the next 10 days.
So, anyway, I'm glad you said the things you did. I agree with you. And I've gotten some heat from a few friends that are mad at me. And I see all my liberal friends on Facebook saying, you know, this happened and the murderers of Breonna Taylor haven't been brought to justice, but this person was. And I'm like, that's all emotion.
Legally right. speaking, it's literally, nothing. It's all emotion. Now, listen, if you want to change it, you got, like I said, you have to change. You got to get rid of the no-knock warrants. You have to demand that those cameras are on all the time. You have to... you know, your procedures for obtaining warrants need to be cleaned. Like, there's a number of things that can happen that can prevent this particular thing from happening again. And those are the things that you have to focus on, right? Like, arresting these cops and sending them to jail, that's, you're pissed about the result, but that doesn't, like, that's not going to stop the next Breonna Taylor from happening.
Right.
Right? If arresting people and throwing them in jail were a deterrent, then we wouldn't have all the crime that we have, right? True. Like, we have no problem in the USA throwing people in jail for extended periods of time in terrible conditions. We talk about how bad our jails are, how bad our criminal justice system is all the time. And yet and still, people commit crime every goddamn day, all right? So throwing people in jail isn't the deterrent, whether they're cops or they're criminals. We have to fix the things that are causing these incidents that we don't like to happen.
One thing that was said, and it was said in regards to Breonna Taylor, is like, why didn't they have a paramedics team there to help her after she got shot? Which I completely agree with, but even if you're not thinking of the people that you're, I mean, the cops are going into this thinking that there's a drug dealer in this apartment, and but even if you're not thinking about the health of the people that you're going after, how about think about the health of the cops? One of them got shot in this case. You know, there should have been a paramedic team. When you're doing this sort of thing, there should be a paramedic team on standby with, you know, 2 minutes away. I'm not asking them to come charging in, but you need to be prepared to get medical attention, if for nothing else than the safety of the officers.
I don't know enough about the situation to make that statement. I don't think you know if there was a paramedic team there or close by. I don't think we know.
And she was shot 6 times. She might not have lived either way.
Right. I mean, but she took 6. I mean, so it's hard to say what that would have mattered. I don't know if there was a team nearby. I don't know if they were close. I really don't know.
If I tell you my source, you're going to get CNN.
What,
CNN okay. was the one that was saying that, you okay. know, so anyway.
But we don't know that. So, you know, I mean, that's probably a good idea. It makes sense to, you know, I mean, if you're going to...
At least on standby.
Right. I mean, no matter what, like, no, you know, I mean, it's just like, look, if you feel it's dangerous enough where you need all a battering ram and shields and guns and blah, 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 then it probably makes sense to have somebody close by. I agree. I don't know logistically what was going on there, so I can't say that.
But if there's going to be a policy change, that would be a policy change to put in place, assuming that they were not.
True, but that's so far down on my list. Like,
okay.
Because, like, I mean, because, okay, here's the problem. Here is the problem. You go in and you say, I want no-knock warrants out, I want cameras, I want this, and I want a paramedic team on... a paramedic team on standby is going to cost a lot of money and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, you get into a squabble with the paramedic team, and then that's what you get. You get it. Yeah, we got paramedics on standby when we do raids. Great. What about the other stuff? Huh? What? Oh, no, we didn't get that. But we do have paramedics on standby, right. So cool. So they're going to kick in the door. Everybody's going to get shot up. And congratulations, you got a paramedic on standby, but you're still not fixing the problem.
I agree that the police problems need to get fixed that way. But I'm in an add-on to the picture, when that got said, I thought, I can't believe that the police are willing to get into these situations without knowing that they have medical help readily available because, I mean, sitting in the back of a squad car getting a race to the hospital strikes me as...
But some of these larger cities, I mean, I don't even know if that's an option, right? I mean, there's a lot of shit going on, so that's something I don't know if I want to get too any much more in the weeds about just because I think that there's more to it than just, you know... Let's make this policy change. Like, I mean, like, do you have the manpower with your medical teams and services to actually do that? You know, and remember, on this particular night, there were multiple raids that happened, right? Like, it wasn't just at her spot. Remember, because they were looking for this guy, and he got arrested somewhere else. You know, a few minutes earlier.
Again after the fact.
No. He got arrested. He was arrested before this took place. Now, There is a caveat to that they changed the time that he was officially booked, right? Like, so there's some sketchy shit going on.
Okay, that sounds right. Like,
but he was now
whitewashing.
Now he wasn't. It wasn't hours before, right? Like, so he was arrested, and then maybe 10 minutes later they kicked in the door to Breonna Taylor's place, right? Like, there's not a huge amount of time between the two. But my whole point with that is that they had teams in multiple places. So, you know.
But I, you're right. We'll get way down into the weeds. We could do an hour on this, and I definitely don't want to do that. So this week, Trump mentioned that Jim Acosta, I believe, asked him if he would guarantee there would be a smooth transition of power if he lost the election. And he answered in typical Trump fashion of, well, we'll see. I have to see the ballots. They're a disaster and all this other shit. Bill Maher has been pounding this drum that Trump won't leave for a very long time. He did a whole segment on times he said it during his show. This is the first time I've actually taken it seriously. This is the first time I've actually said, does this guy actually think he can stay in office if he loses the election because he can claim it's not legit? And there's another story that came out that he's having a team look into specially selecting electors who are not constitutionally legally required to cast their ballot for the, what the state represents. It is legal for Joe Biden to carry the state of Pennsylvania and for the electors to go there and say, nope, we think Trump is the real representative of the people. We're putting these electoral ballots in for Trump. I don't know that it's ever happened that way, but, and it certainly would be a major exception, but it's not illegal.
Right. So, but you're talking about two different issues, so you need to figure out which one you're talking about. Well, focus on one and then the other, because they're not directly related.
Well, the transfer of power thing is him running his mouth. It concerns me because the reason they are related is because it comes down to, will he leave office if he's not elected? You know, I was thinking about it, and again, the way he said it came off as, in my opinion, incredibly dictatorial. But...
All right, just, okay, look. He was asked, if you lose, will you leave? He says, we'll see, right? He's combative, he's defensive, he's saying, fuck you, I'm not going to lose. That's literally what he's saying, right? Like, I mean, some of you motherfuckers with this... This is, like, I know we really want this to be, he's not going to leave, and we're going to have to drag him out and handcuff, blah, blah, blah. No, he's literally saying, fuck you, I'm not losing, and so let's move on. And then, his comment about the ballots, get rid of the ballots, okay, fine. He, again, this is him playing you. This isn't, I'm not, like, his fat old ass is not going to sit up there and refuse to leave and make Bruce Willis... playing the role of General What's-His-Nuts going to come in there, what do you want me to do? Like, this is not what's going to happen. Right? Okay.
Here's why it's the first time I've ever been concerned. He said, basically, that if there is a valid election...
What did he say?
He said, if the election is valid... Yes, he did. He said, the election is valid, I won't win, I won't lose, there won't be a transition of power, there'll be a continuation. So he has basically said, and if I'm not getting the quote perfect, he's basically said, there's no way that I lose a legitimate election, so therefore, if I lose the election, it wasn't legitimate, and I won't commit to leaving. Now, I will also say, he's also the president who asked the question, should we drop a nuclear bomb on a hurricane? So I get it. He says random dumb thoughts that serve his interests all the time. And most of the time that I've heard the Bill Maher and the others saying he won't leave, I've said, yeah, I don't know. But I think there's a bigger element of this, and that is it's fueling the flames of the radical Trump supporters who I'm very concerned about.
I think there needs to be, you need to separate the two things, right? They're related, but they need to separate. In that moment, his response to Acosta was, we'll see what happens, meaning, look, I'm not going to lose this thing. If everything is fair, everybody loves me, according to all sorts of people all of his talking heads and all the people that speak for him, from the people from Tucker Carlson all the way to even Mike Wood, they'll all tell you that there's this grand wave of hundreds of millions of people that all believe in Trump, right? And they all believe that he's the right one. And so if the election is fair, it's going to be Trump by a landslide, by a whitewash. Okay. But the only way the Democrats can win is if it's not fair. So therefore, if it's not fair, then that means it needs to be challenged. And so therefore, Trump's going to say, well, you can't make me leave. So that second part of if it's not fair, that's where there is an issue. And he's been feeding that and fueling that with this whole thing. Every time he makes any reference to mail-in ballots and elections, all that other stuff, right? He's trying to shake people's confidence in that, right? And so he's it's all intentional. You can see exactly what he's doing, right? His legal team, this is all working together so that on November 3rd, right, when it's all said and done, he can declare himself the winner, and then the states are going to say, no, not yet. We have to count the mail-in ballots. And as soon, like, I guarantee you that the lawsuit will hit the books as early as they possibly can. So I don't think it'll be November 3rd. I think it'll be November 4th. That Wednesday, his legal team, it will be... Is it United States? I don't even know who would... Now I don't even know who the parties would be. Is it Donald Trump versus the United States? Is it United States versus the state? I'm not sure. But I guarantee you that the lawsuits hit across the country, like every single state. And that's the part that worries me. Like his comment, like that is neither here nor there, and it doesn't matter. Like there was too much talk about it. in the media. It was literally just a talking point that people use to bring attention to themselves. I'm punting it. It means nothing. My concern, though, is all the talk he's saying about the election, there's going to be fraud, and the ballots, and the ballots, and the ballots, and the ballots. I have an issue with that because it's clear that he is trying to stir up enough contention about it so that it can be used when they bring legal cases to challenge the states as the states are trying to count the mail-in ballots. That right there is part of the reason why I think it's dumb for people to say, I'm just going to mail a ballot in to give a middle finger to Trump. Are you fucking crazy? If you can go on October 6th in Ohio, October 6th, early voting is legal, get your ass up, take your ass there, and go vote in person. Why would you mail it in just to spite people, right? Like, if you're healthy and you can wear a mask and you can wear gloves and protect yourself, go fucking vote in person.
Okay, that's not... Well, I have no choice now.
I don't care. I'm not talking to you or anybody. I'm just saying, go vote in person. Like, voting in mail just because Trump doesn't like it, like, don't fuck around with this. Go do the thing that guarantees, right, that your vote's going to count. Like, yeah, I mean, because there's going to be issues with mail-in voting, and that's the issue. What he's saying where it's going to be fraud, no, it's just not going to be fraud. Logistically, though, it's going to be problematic, right? Now, in Ohio, it won't be that big of a deal because Ohio handles voting relatively decently, right? But in these other places, they're going to have a serious like Michigan's already said, it's going to take us at least 2 weeks to count them all, right? Like, we're not set up for this. It's going to take us at least 2 weeks to get the results, right, if you mail it in. So okay. I'm just saying, it seems like if it's that important, then why fuck around with the mail? Just go do the thing that you know works.
And so let me give my advice to people who've requested mail-in ballots in Ohio, in Cleveland anyway. There are drop boxes. So I'm essentially taking my ballot, coming home, and then taking it to a direct drop box at the Board of Elections or whatever. So that way it doesn't have to worry about the postal delay. And there are some states that are saying it must arrive by a certain time. There's some states saying it must be postmarked by a certain time. So know your state's laws and...
Well, in Ohio, we're still trying to battle out the drop boxes. Like, how many drop boxes do we have per county? Where are they located? Like, I mean, that hasn't been resolved yet. And so if you have one ballot box in Cuyahoga County, that's a problem. Right? Like, that's a problem because Cuyahoga County is a massive county, right? I mean, it's all of Cleveland. It's all, like, all these random suburbs. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't go super far west, but it does go very far east, you know, and down, you know, into the valley and through and through. So, I mean, it's, you know, like, you're going to have people from Chagrin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, driving, trying to figure out where, I mean, so where are they going to put this centrally located lockbox or drop box? Independence?
Like, no, it's downtown.
Okay.
Or the one I know of is downtown. Maybe there's more, but I know of one, and it's downtown, which is fine with me. Some people don't like going downtown. I don't mind.
Right.
Do we want to discuss the whole Electoral College thing or move on to the topic that I'm dying to talk about?
No.
No, what? We don't want to move
on? No, I don't want to talk about the Electoral College.
Okay. All right. So,
because it's not going to change before the election, like the Electoral College is what it is.
Right. I'm not talking about changing. I'm talking about the fact that it's.
Oh, you mean his reference to the electors?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, well, it's the issue. Like people, like someone brought. I'm like, listen, it is legal, and now this is where you really have to rely on your, you know, your state governments and your parties, and they have to push back on this. I don't know enough about it to really to dig into it enough to have a, you know, in-depth conversation. I've never looked into the Electoral College that deeply, in terms of inserting, you know, someone to cast a vote that's not what the people want. Like, we never really got that far.
It's never come up, but we've never had a guy like this in office.
And that's the thing with him. That's the thing with him, and this is why... people like this about him, right? Or at least they say that they do. And I think they do because he's saying the things that they like about the things that they don't like, right? He's said build a wall, and they love that, right? Like anything to hurt brown people, right? Like build a wall, yay! You know,
the media is against you. The media is your enemy.
Right, the media is the enemy, and Colin Kaepernick, someone should kick that guy in the ass and all that other stuff, right? He says all the rah-rah stuff that, you know, conservative, middle-class, white conservative people want to hear. Okay, great. But at the same time, he's you know, that business acumen, his great whatever, that same shady shit that, you know, that led him to all those bankruptcies and also got him a lot of money that also may have him walking into handcuffs when he walks out of the presidency, he's using that shit to try to tilt things in his favor politically. And that's a problem. That's not like, and people say, well, just because it's not, or just because no one's ever done it before doesn't mean that you can't do it. But it may mean you shouldn't do it, right? Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And there's a lot of things that he's trying to do that you shouldn't do, right? Demanding that the United States government receive payment for deals that were approved, like this TikTok and Oracle deal. Like, yeah, you can, but you know, like technically you actually can't. Right, and he wants to figure out a way around that, and he thinks that we should be able to do it. Well, I don't think that you should, Don. I think that the government isn't in it to make money, and I don't think our government should be about profiteering. I think that it's already gotten us into a fair amount of shit. We don't need to get into any more shit just because you want to do whatever. You go leave the presidency and go fucking make money if that's what you want to do. Right, our government shouldn't be designed to profit.
Right.
Right. And that's what he's trying to turn it into. And I have issues with that. That's another reason why I don't like the guy.
Right.
Right. Like, no. Listen, I say all the time, he does things that can be considered racist, but I don't think Donald Trump's a racist. I believe that he is an elitist. And I think he is a self-centered, narcissistic guy whose main focus is him. Right. And he will hurt and burn anybody he has to put himself in a better position. Right, and if that's the guy you want running your country, that's fine. It's just not who I want running my country. I don't need to call him a racist to do it. Right, I think he's an asshole. Right, I thought the guy was an asshole since the fucking 90s, since he was in fucking Home Alone 2.
Okay.
Right, since he was on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, since he said dumb shit on Oprah, since he had that stupid show of The Apprentice and all that other. I thought he was a complete dickbag when he was in the WWE. I thought he was awful that they even had him. Right, like I mean, just. I've never liked the guy. I'm not going to all of a sudden like him just because he's the president. I don't think he's doing a good job, right? Like, so people are like, well, you need to vote for him because I don't need to fucking vote for him. You're not going to tell me who to fucking vote for. You're no different. Like, you sit there and people will tell you, well, the Democrats are telling you what to do and just blah, 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 and you need to get from under the plantation and do what we tell you to do. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're doing the same fucking thing they're doing. You're just on the other side. Go fuck yourself. Right? Like, I'll vote for whoever the fuck I want to.
And I do think, though, there's maybe I'm overreacting, but I don't think I am. The danger in stirring up this shit, saying the elections are going to be rigged, I've never heard a president say that before. Or I don't think I've ever heard a candidate say that before. And he's been fueling this fire for a long time.
Since 2016, since 2015.
Right. But he's saying this one is literally like, if I'm removed, it's because I was cheated, and he's got a whole bunch of people out there who have been licking his boots for a long time who are going to act on
now,
that.
Now, mind you, the last election, even though he won, even though he lost the popular vote, but he wins due to the Electoral College, it was illegal immigrants. All the illegal immigrants right. were voting.
That's true.
So now, he solved that problem, right?
He built the wall?
I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, listen, we still got kids in cages at the border.
Oh, yeah, true.
Which nobody talks about, but, I mean, they're still there, and we should still probably do something about it. Like, get those kids home, right? Like, I'm not saying they need to be released into the United States. Fine. I mean, just don't fucking leave them locked up in a cage here. Get them fucking home. So that problem is gone, right? And I don't think he's really saying that he fixed it. But they're just saying, all right, well, that's not an issue anymore. Now right. what the issue is mail-in ballots. But they're not telling you exactly how there's going to be fraud. They're just telling you that it's going to be fraud.
It's a disaster.
Right? It's just going to be fraud. What's going to be fraudulent about it? Oh, some dead guy got one.
Right.
Right? Okay. So there was a ballot mailed to a dead person. Who knows when that dead person died?
Right.
Literally, well, all that means is that there's a ballot, but I mean that doesn't mean that someone's going to fill it out, falsely claim to be that person, and then send it back in. Is that what you're saying? But he won't go that far because he knows that he really can't because that's not what's going to happen.
Well, and there was another story floating around, and it was mostly anecdotal, but I saw it pop up in a few articles how 9 ballots from the military were found, and 7 of them were voted for Trump, and they were discarded. That story has to be bullshit because the ballots can't be released yet. At least in Ohio, you can't release a ballot until October 6th. I don't know if that's nationwide or not, But the idea that there have been ballots mailed in already and that were found discarded, that story hasn't fully played itself out yet. I'm pre-calling bullshit on it. Have you heard that or no?
No, I haven't even heard
it. Okay. Well, all right, man. We got to move on.
Yeah.
And So a while ago, Joe Rogan signed a $100 million deal to put his podcast on Spotify. I would like to tell Spotify we are much cheaper than that.
Well, listen, we're already on Spotify, but we're willing to renegotiate.
We are much, much cheaper than that, yes. Apparently. So a bunch of staffers, apparently.
125. What does 1% of that get us?
1% of 100 million?
Yeah.
A million.
I'll take it.
Yeah, we're, like I said, much cheaper.
Take it, split it right down the middle.
60-40. 60. Fuck you. So anyway, a bunch of, apparently the staff at Spotify, upset about certain guests that Rogan has had on, are threatening to walk out or strike if they don't get editorial control of the podcast, the right to add trigger warnings, and the right to block episodes if they feel they're problematic. And to those people, I would like to say from the bottom of my heart, go fuck yourselves. I'm serious. That's what podcasts are. If you don't like them, don't listen. If you don't like what you're hearing, go do whatever you do. I don't care. But the idea that Joe Rogan needs to be censored, the whole point of podcasts is they're not censored. I think we have way too much censorship in our mainstream media. I wish CNN and Fox could drop F-bombs. I think it's ridiculous that they can't. Now, furthermore, we do have a trigger warning on Joe Rogan's podcast. We have one on ours as well. There's a little E that says explicit. If you want a little P that says political, or you can guess whatever else that P could stand for, you know, fine. But
so, there's another story out of one of the universities. I believe it's USC, University of Southern Cal. There was an Asian teacher, and he was talking to his class, and he said the word neg, right? And neg in one of the Asian languages means, it's a common phrase.
Okay.
Right? And I think it was maybe neg-er or something like that. So it sounds like nigger, right?
I figured.
Whatever the word is. And that's not what it means, but he said it several times, and he was explaining, I don't know, how that word is used and whatever. So a number of students got really upset, and they went to, you know, the school board and all that other stuff and made a huge deal about it, right? And so the school, instead of telling the kids, all right, sorry your feelings were hurt, go back to class or drop the class or whatever, but that's literally all that's going to happen, they suspended the teacher until, you know, they completed their investigation of what happened and blah, blah, blah. And I think what Spotify needs to do is take a lesson from USC and not do what USC did, right? They need to tell these people, go do your job is to do X, Y, and Z, right? Your job isn't to censor Joe Rogan's podcast. We brought him here for 120 fucking million to do what he does. So you let him do what he does, and if you can't let him do what he does, then you need to go do something else for some... Oh, shit. You need to go do whatever you do for someone else that's not us. This whole idea of, you know, people being offended and wanting to censor... Like, you can't sit there and call Donald Trump and the conservatives fascists, and then yet you're screaming and yelling about censorship and people not being allowed to say this and not being allowed to say that. And if you say these words, if you don't use the right pronouns, then you need to be defunded and we need to take your money and you need to all, like, that's not how it works. Like, you guys are the ones who sound like the fucking psycho fascist people. Yeah. Right? I mean, I know. And it's just like this whole thing where you can't say this and you can't do that. And if you do, there need to be consequences. Like, okay, you keep going down this road, eventually, like, you guys are going to become the very monsters that you say you want to stop. And that's where they're at. Fortunately, hopefully Spotify does the right thing and tells them to go fuck off, but we'll see what happens.
Well, and I would say, warning to people who want to walk out on their job, I don't know where Spotify is headquartered and what the laws say about it, but your job probably isn't that hard to replace, and there's probably lots of people out there who will happily step in. And again, podcasts are all about lack of censorship, lack of filter, lack of whatever. And the idea that you're going to step in on this because, well, he had a woman on there who said bad things about trans people. Okay, that woman wrote a book. Don't buy her book if you don't want to buy her book. Don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast if you don't want to. I still do.
Right. I mean, now maybe their issue is that maybe their job requires them to listen to it, right?
Okay, well, then that's part of your job.
Right, then it's part of your job. Suck it up and move on, soldier. And if not, then get out.
Do you know how many boring ass SOPs I've had to read as part of my job that I didn't want to, but I did it because I fucking had to? Right. A lot.
Right. I mean, as much as you want to be sensitive to people's issues, we can't bend every time like somebody finds something offensive or someone is. You know, like, we just can't. Like, as a society, we can't. Sorry, you can't be accommodated. Like, sometimes you're going to hear things you don't like. Sometimes you're going to see things you don't like. And it's not the job of society to block that from you 100% so you could walk around with these fucking rose-colored glasses on. Right? Like, you got to be able to fucking self-filter. If you don't like it, turn it off. Right. If you can't work in that sort of situation, then go fucking work somewhere else. Right, and if you have a problem with that, then I listen. You could, if you fight this fight and win, then I guess you're right and we're wrong. Right?
No,
if these kids continue to fight this fight and they keep winning, then at some point in time, we're the last two. Right? I mean, and I'll die on the hill. Like, I'm not gonna bend to this fucking neoliberalism of you can't say these words, and if you do, you should be censored, and if not, then you should be sued or jailed or fought in the streets. And that's where I was uncomfortable with the early things with Antifa, right? Because that's the sort of shit that they would get mad about, right? Like, oh, you didn't call this trans person by the right pronoun, so I'm going to, you know, hit you with a water bottle. Like, stop.
I mean...
That's what they were doing early on. Like, you can't say that they weren't. They literally were doing their videos of it. Stop. Don't defend them.
I'm not defending them. I just don't... We don't agree on what Antifa really is... Who's actually in that group. We've had this fight 100 times.
But the FBI came out and proved you're wrong.
No, the FBI came out and said it's an ideology, not a centralized group. Yeah, it's radical idiots, whatever. But there's no mass... There's no one stroking the hairless cat running Antifa.
That's what I've been saying the whole fucking time.
Okay. But, okay, well, you're, I don't consider them an organization. I consider them a bunch of random punks. And a lot of the shit that's
being put up... Okay, but those random punks are dangerous.
Okay, fine. And arrest them and do whatever. And if people... I mean, if you want to put a law saying you can't walk around in a, you know... Well, I say walk around in a mask with a baseball bat, but you have to wear a mask now. And speaking of wearing a mask, there was a woman in Logan, Ohio, who was arrested... at a high school football game. She was not wearing a mask. Now, this is another polarizing one because all of my left-wing friends are posting, accurately, that she was not arrested for not wearing a mask. She was arrested for trespassing because she was on school property and she was not following the school policy of wearing a mask, and an officer came over to her, tried to get her to comply. She chose not to. Tried to get her to leave. She chose not to. He then incredibly awkwardly wrestles with her, which it was, I would guess, roughly 300-pound police officer, black police officer, and a white woman, so let's flip some race stuff here. But his attempt to get her off of a bleacher seat was really, really, really awkward. It resulted in her getting tased. People were yelling stuff about, you can't do that, whatever, to the officer, asking if he was a police officer, which I don't know why they're asking that because he's wearing the fucking uniform.
Right.
But... one thing that this made me think of was our previous conversations about Jacob Blake shooting. They awkwardly tangled with a man who was much stronger and bigger than this woman, and he got away, and you challenged me and said, you know, could you have stopped me, or could you and another cop have stopped me? This guy couldn't stop that woman without a taser, or didn't anyway. I'm kind of talking in circles here, but there's two things going on. So the right-wing thing is she was arrested for not wearing a mask. That is a distortion of the truth. She was arrested for trespassing, for not following school rules. So that claim of right-wing fascism, of fascism about masks is dumb. The woman's, in my opinion, just an asshole. You know, if you want to watch a high school football game, wear a damn mask. She's right. It's outside. It's probably not a big safety thing, but... just fucking do it. It's the policy and everyone else is doing it. Now, I also found the awkwardness of the arrest kind of funny.
Well, I mean, I think, listen, like, there's something that people, like, the officer is bigger, but she's an adult woman and she didn't want to leave. Right. So, like, it doesn't matter. Like, unless you are just freakishly strong, right? Like, I'm talking Andre the Giant, Reggie White, freakishly strong, where you can just grab another human and make them go limp and carry them out. Like, true. It doesn't matter. Like, I am a very, very strong person, but if a adult woman doesn't want to leave her seat, like, it's going to be awkward, right? She's sitting down, I'm standing up, it's bleachers, things are, you know, sure. What I mean? There's tears, and so, like, you only have so much room for your feet. Like, I saw it, he's got to bend at an awkward angle to get her out, so then, and she's pulling away from him, so yes, it's awkward, right? Like, there's going to be an awkward way of grabbing her. That's not the issue. I think it's interesting that, you know, you do have this role reversal where now, you know, your conservative Trump supporters are mad at the police officer. You can't do that. And this is fascism. And this is, they're taking our rights and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, now everybody's like, oh, well, she's trespassing. She's breaking the law. She needs to be like, oh, so now laws matter. Okay, interesting. I think it is interesting how everyone kind of is flipping things because, you know, how it fits their narrative. She wasn't wearing a mask. She should have been wearing a mask. She didn't wear a mask. She got arrested. That's how it goes, right? Like, I mean, I'm not mad at the officer. I'm like, she stood her ground, I guess. Was it worth it? And it probably will be because, you know, she'll probably be on Fox News in less than a week, right? Like, I'm sure if she hasn't already, she may be there by Monday. And you know, they're going to make a martyr out of her and this whole thing. And you know, the police supporters are, you know, not going to say anything nice about this cop at all. And, you know, he works for some, you know, liberal, blah, 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 and all this other shit. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's just going to show that how hypocritical they are. Right. You know, all this talk about, you know, Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham being hypocritical, like, yeah, so are you fucking people. Get out of here.
Yeah, well, and they are too, but unfortunately they also have the legal standing to do what they're doing, and there's nothing Democrats can do about it. Can we talk about that for 1 minute, or probably more than a few minutes? Because I am going to be curious about the Democratic strategy in trying to stop the next Supreme Court nominee. And my thought is, and I know this won't happen,
they're so fucking dead in the water.
Exactly. So why not embrace it? Why not say, you know what, we're going to, unlike you assholes, back in 2016, we're going to do our jobs per the Constitution because we care about this. Even if it's pure fucking, you know, parade, what's the word I'm looking for, just, even if it's purely for political opinion or political
theater,
thank you. Do that. Do your job the right way. If the woman that is likely to get nominated is qualified, and your job as a senator is to review her qualifications and look, and please don't try to dig up something, you know, in high school she...
Well, that's the issue. Like, I mean, this is where I was, you know, I put this on Twitter maybe a month ago. You know, or not, I mean, maybe, I forget when I put it on there, but, you know, ultimately it's just like, well, it's they're probably going to nominate a woman. Right. No, it couldn't have been a month ago because RBG just died 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But, you know, it was, look, it's going to be a woman, so there's not going to be a 20, 30-year-old sexual harassment charge you're going to be able to pull up. So what's your strategy here? More like, you know, Democrats, we...
Well, you know the strategy they already started to use. She's so far right-wing religious that she's not qualified, that she believes... That she wants to turn America into a handmaid's tale and all that shit.
I mean, and they're going to have to, I mean, like, look, you, like, looking at her decisions, you know, like, they just made the announcement official last night. And I don't know if it's been official. Yeah, I haven't dug deep into her cases yet, but I've looked at a few. I think that she is super religious, but I also think that she's a really good, talented judge. I mean, yeah, she's conservative, and people are going to be pissed about it, but the reality is that she's a talented judge. And what I've seen on this court over the years, because most of you out there, I'm sorry, I've studied it longer than you have. I have legitimately studied it and researched it and dug into it, is that the talented ones, they really, they stand out. and they don't make people happy. They don't care about political affiliations and ties. They don't let their personal biases get in here. They use reasonable and they use the law and they apply the law the way that you're supposed to, and we're not always going to like it. And that's kind of the point. It's not about liking it. It's not about what you think. And here's the other thing. Like, people are so up in arms about, you know, Roe versus Wade. That seems to be the biggest thing on the court. And I understand that. But look, there's a reason why it hasn't been in front of the court, right? There's a reason why. And the reason why is Justice Roberts. Roberts doesn't want it in front of the court. And he knows the political aspects of this. He knows how politicized this has been. And he, and like, listen, the court can easily say, too political, not going to touch it. Right? And they, and look, the longer they say that, the more it goes in your favor. So I think that you get a talented judge up there. Justice Roberts, unless he decides to retire, is going to be around for a while. And I think as long as he's on there, now look, you get enough conservatives on the bench, and they, like, I mean, he could, you know, if they put it to a vote and they say, all right, we want it up here, then fine, and you got an issue. But again, fuck rules, policy, procedure, that shit matters to me. And so your opportunities to prevent this from happening, as I said, you didn't take advantage of them when you had the opportunity in terms of getting the votes to change the Senate. You got rid of the filibuster. You got rid of the required majority of the supermajority to make to challenge these positions. And now here's the position that you are in. Democrats and progressives, you guys put yourselves in this position. And so now this is what you have to deal with.
Right. And I've heard a lot of people say two things that I want to comment on. I've heard a lot of people say, we need to get term limits on Supreme Court justices.
Nope.
We need to expand the Supreme Court.
Nope.
100% agree with you. And this is exactly, you brought the supermajority thing. Back when they did that, it was, well, this suits
our... Mitch McConnell told Harry Reid, he told him don't do this. He said don't do, he begged him not to do it because Mitch McConnell knew who Mitch McConnell was. He knew who he was. He told you, he's like, listen, I'm a dick. So if you do this, I am going to burn you. So don't. And Harry Reid, know-all, with all his backup, with fucking... Biden and Schumer and all those dicks said, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Okay. And here we are.
You changed the rules.
And here we are. And you know what? Fine. You know, like, you get, this is what you fuckers get. This is exactly what you get. I am sorry. I'm sorry that this is going to happen. I'm sorry. I don't want Roe versus Wade to be overturned. I don't want some of this shit to change. But unfortunately, you lose because you didn't know how to play the fucking game. So you get burned. And so for that, I applaud the enemy. Because frankly, I want winners. And you motherfuckers don't know how to win. So you're getting burned. And so maybe now you'll learn how to win. Maybe now you'll know how to put yourself in a position not to get fucked like this. But for right now, you're bent over, taking it in the fucking ass, and that is what you get. Let's move on.
No, but I hear you, and I agree with you. And when you fuck with it in the short term and it comes back to bite you in the ass, don't go crying to Steve.
Do not.
It's
a hard lesson my daughter is learning. Very hard. Very hard lesson. I'm firm on that. Listen, it may benefit you now, but it may come back to hurt you later.
Yep. Okay.
And when I'm sitting there eating all the Oreos and not sharing, she doesn't like it.
So this is another one I'm loving to talk about. You mentioned that this lady got arrested will be on Fox News. Tucker Carlson from Fox News was sued by Karen McDougal for defamation.
Can you just tell who Karen McDougal is?
Karen McDougal is a former Playboy playmate who allegedly had a lengthy affair with Donald Trump before he was president. And kind of at the same time as the Stormy Daniels thing, that story came out. The Stormy Daniels thing was way more fun because she came out, gave details, talked about his mushroom dick and smacked him in the ass with a rolled up newspaper or magazine. And so Karen McDougal ends up being the B-side of the album. She was then called, Tucker Carlson basically called her a liar and said she was a gold digging phony and whatever. And she sued him for defamation of character. And a judge threw the case out basically saying, no one takes Tucker Carlson seriously. Therefore, his statements are known to be just opinions and biased, and therefore cannot have defamed you. Now, it said in the article that defamation is very hard to prove. Mm-hmm. And is it because it's hard to prove that you said it, or hard to prove that it actually hurt you? I would think the latter.
You have to, one of the elements, I believe, is intent. And you also have to show injury, and I think it's very hard to prove those two things.
Especially when you're Karen McDougal, and I had to tell you who the fuck she was.
Yeah.
Not you, but lots of people. Right. But having said that, there's now a legal document saying Tucker Carlson is just a mouthpiece and should not be taken seriously, and that brings me happiness.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't like it, and that's scary. That's not, like, it sounds like a slap in the face to Tucker Carlson, and everybody's like, yeah, look at that. But I don't, like, I think that there needs to be a higher level of scrutiny from the court on this. And I don't think it got what it deserved. And I think it seems like a win, right? And you're just like, ha ha, Tucker Carlson. Yeah, except for now, if I go on a show, I say whatever I want and just say, I'm an entertainer.
Isn't that already happening?
Well, it's if she legitimately felt that she was defamed, right? Like, then there needs to be a recourse. And if there's not, because now what we're saying is essentially there's no recourse for it. And if that's what we want, that's up to y'all. I mean, if y'all don't want to, I mean, I think that there should be. But if we as a society have said, you know what? We had defamation, we had libel, but we don't like them anymore. And so kind of fuck them. And, you know, if someone has a TV show or some form of a platform, they can just say they're an entertainer and they can drag a person as much as they want. And we're cool with that. Okay. Okay.
I think we're there.
I don't know if we are. And so not being 100% sure, I'm just saying that there still should be some line, a line of defense. I would appeal this. And push it higher because I think it needs a higher level of scrutiny. I think that it's just not the right, and his reasoning for it isn't good. And that, again, that while it seems like a win, like, this very much favors Donald Trump.
Well, again,
I'd be curious to see some information on the judge.
Okay.
Where that judge lies politically.
All right, well,
because I think that tells you a lot.
Okay,
I could be wrong, right? I mean, this could be a very, you know, maybe the judge just thinks that Tucker Carlson is a clown and he wanted to.
Well, and I think there's also a First Amendment part of it, right? I mean, Tucker Carlson, I don't want him censored. I just do want him called out for being a bullshit spewing douchebag. And I honestly think that's the way this should be done. When you say in this case, proving truth and not, it's tough. But when someone comes out and says something that is fundamentally untrue, verifiably untrue, there should be a recourse for that. Not that they should be legally punished for what they said,
but it wasn't about whether this wasn't about the truth of the statement, though. It was about who delivered it, right?
Well, it was the
what did the judge say? You can't believe what he said.
You're right. Okay.
It's not right. And, like, I have an issue with that, right? Like, so basically people we think are douches can't defame someone just because they're by definition a douche. Like, what? Like, I just, the legal reasoning of it, I don't like. Okay, right? I mean, like, Tucker Carlson got, like, everybody fucking has called this guy an idiot. Like, I don't, like, that does nothing for me. I have serious issue with the legal reasoning behind that decision, and I think it's problematic. And I just think it should be appealed, and I am curious to know more about the judge.
Well, the ruling just came out this week, so we can follow up and maybe learn more. I would love to talk about how to fix bullshit that calls itself news, but that's a whole other show, probably all on its own.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I can talk for an hour on it.
Okay, well, I'll save everyone that, and if you want to fix the news, then news basically has to come under government control, and we don't want that. I'm just saying, you don't want it. Okay. You don't want it. I mean, because the toothpaste is out of the bag. The reality is the toothpaste is out of the bag, and this is also something that we've never had before as a society. We just haven't.
True.
And the ways to fix it are going to be worse than what we have right now. So you got to really, you got
to
either.
This is why I would love to have a lengthy conversation about it.
I don't want
to
have that conversation. I really don't. I honestly don't. It's just bloviating. And the reality is our society, like, you don't have the answer. You don't. Because what I just said, we've never had this access, this much access to information. True. We've never had it worldwide. We've never had this amount, like, we've never had a person like Donald Trump in the White House before. We've never had, like, all these worldly, with so much at risk. Our economies have never been this all tied together. We've never seen anything like it. So the idea that you think that you have the answer on how to fix all this, get the fuck out of here. Come on.
Okay, well, I all right, fine. You're saying you don't have the answers. I have some thoughts. You don't want to talk about them. Fine. But we have a huge problem with people out there who are completely misinformed.
True.
And getting fed the shit from what they consider to be credible news sources. And
that a lot of the misinformation comes from YouTube. Do you know how many people, like,
Plandemic, perfect example.
Like, I mean, there's so many people that post these videos. Watch this if you want to be informed. And you watch it and you're like, what the fuck? It's like just some dude.
Yeah.
Right. Sitting right. Like, I mean, like, no, like, I mean, not that we have any sort of quality, but us. Right, and then someone is watching it, saying like this explains all the things, and this is the truth, right? And you're like, what? No, there's major gaps that this person didn't. No, right. That's the truth. You're like, oh Jesus.
I've got a friend who does this to me all the time. He'll send me this. What do you think of this? And I'll watch it. I'm like, this is just gibberish. This is completely like one of them was, why isn't tuberculosis a pandemic? Why aren't we wearing masks for tuberculosis? Whole bunch of reasons for that. One of them is it's not a problem in America or most of the Western world. It's just not. And you literally, at one point,
reason why it's not, though.
Yeah, vaccines.
Yes. Like, there's actually a very specific reason why tuberculosis is not. It's because of the vaccines that you think are terrible and making people retarded.
Right. All right. So, you ready to wrap up?
Yes.
Thanks for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Reach out to us if you'd like. Thanks for listening. We're done.